Welcome to Career Tools, our guidance on not getting an offer. Folks, if you're thinking about interviewing anytime soon, now is the time to start preparing. Interviewing is not about smarts. It's not about personality. It's all about preparation in the modern age as more and more companies use more and more tools to separate the wheat from the chaff. Our interviewing series is over 50 podcasts that go through in detail every step of the interview, how to prepare, how to dress, resumes, cover letters, how to chit-chat, how to answer tell me about yourself and your leadership style and significant accomplishments with repeated examples, how to close, how to ask questions, how to follow up, everything in enormous detail because we know interviewing for most people is a black box. Come and check it out. So, Wendy, sometimes you get offers when you interview, and sometimes you don't. And it's never fun to not get an offer, but there's a right way to handle it, right?
Yeah, and ripping up and burning the letter does feel good, but it's probably not the best thing to do.
Right. The fact is, you never know. Don't assume that the bridge is burned. The company is not burning the bridge. They're simply saying they're not right for you at that time. And since your life is going to be filled with failure, because that's what life is, it makes sense to maybe learn how to deal with it in a more effective way.
Yeah, and there's all sorts of reasons why companies might come back to you afterwards. So to burn a bridge for no reason is just silly, and you can actually make hay from, I'm going to mix all my metaphors, you can make hay from the rejection. So we're going to talk about respond to communication by letter, say thank you for the opportunity, wish them luck with their hire, don't ask for feedback.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Finish by expressing future interest and stay in touch.
Okay. So you say respond to any communication by letter.
Yeah, which is probably overstated, but that'll make everybody listen. So my rule of communication is, Wendy's rule of communication is that the first time someone communicates with you, you communicate in kind. So if they've sent you a letter saying, I'm sorry, you're rejected, then you send a letter back. They send an email, you send an email back.
I see.
If they call, then you know, hopefully you answer the phone. But you don't respond to a letter with a phone call. Because
right.
If that person wanted to speak to you on the phone, they would have called you.
Yes, and a letter is more formal. And you calling back on the phone suggests your formal communication to you is actually only an informal communication to me.
Yeah.
Which is in the etiquette world a little bit rude. Okay.
Exactly. And that doesn't mean you can't, if there was somebody in the process, you know, if the letter comes from HR and you reply to them by HR and you want to send an email, you've had an email relationship with the hiring manager, there's nothing to stop you sending an email to the hiring manager. But if they send you a letter, you respond with a letter.
Yeah.
And people tend to communicate in the way they wish to be communicated with. Like I said, if they send you a letter, they didn't want to talk to you on the phone. And so if you get a letter, then you can assume that that person wants to communicate by letter.
And in my mind, the big issue here is not so much the form, although I agree with you letter to letter, but rather when you get a letter that declines you, you don't not respond.
Ah, that too. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, or an email or a voicemail. We tell people in our interviewing series that if you get an offer and you call back to accept a day later or 2 days later or 5 minutes later and you get voicemail, you can leave an acceptance on voicemail. By the same token, you can leave a receipt, if you will, of your rejection voicemail on voicemail as well. And people think, well, that's not as formal. No, it's not. But if they called you, you can call them back. And you can still do it in a respectful and formal way. You can leave a voicemail that comes across as totally professional, respectful, appreciative, and wishing the company well. And of course, if you get a letter, you definitely want to do it by letter in return. Okay?
Yeah. And part of the reason that people send letters, particularly for rejections, is because they want to distance themselves from that
right.
piece of the process. People don't like rejecting other people. They just... it's just painful for all of us to say to somebody else, I can't give you what you want.
Right.
And so part of the reason you get letters is because they don't want to talk to you about it. And So by calling them and forcing them to, and we'll talk about this again in feedback, but calling them and forcing them to, you put them in an uncomfortable position, and that is not a good way to forge your relationship.
Exactly. This also, though, implies that you're going to get a letter or a phone call or whatever. And there are an awful lot of folks, though, who complain that companies never respond.
Yeah, even after in-person interviews, which is bad, really bad.
It's really bad for them. It really is. It's not cricket at all. And folks, we're not going to change that, and we're not going to address that here. It's entirely possible that one of the ways you'll learn about a rejection, we're talking about how to respond if you don't get an offer when there is communication to that effect. But there are plenty of you who have waited months and months and months and months, and finally, the overwhelming weight of the evidence is, okay, they're not going to pursue me. And that feeling that you have is a lesson to you to never do that to another. And if you ever wonder who's in charge in hiring situations and who holds all the cards, that very situation proves to you that the answer is the company, that they can choose not to communicate and get away with it. And that would be the equivalent, if you were in charge, that would be equivalent of being asked a question in an interview and just not answering.
Just like looking at them.
Yeah. Good. Okay. The second thing you say, and I assume this would be in the letter or obviously on the phone or in email or what have you, depending upon their communication with you, is we say thank you for the opportunity.
Yeah. And the reason we say thank you for the opportunity is, at a minimum, the hiring manager has put time aside to read your resume. They've thought about the questions they want to ask. They've put time aside for you to come in. They've organized the reception, know who you are. You know, they've got someone to bring tea and coffee. And yeah, okay, so some hiring managers are completely disorganized and appear not to have done any of those, but we'll just assume that they have, even if everything goes wrong on the day. And so you're not thanking them for the opportunity of the job. You're saying, thank you for all that time that you put into assessing my suitability.
Yeah, and I'll tell you something. Somebody who doesn't want to do that and then complains when the company doesn't communicate the rejection is, again, not being fair to the process. A rejection, phone, email, letter, is an appropriate way to end and to show respect from the company's perspective for the amount of work you put into the interview and the process. If you then don't say thank you, even when you're told no, you're doing the same thing by not thanking them for the work they put into it. It's just professionally respectful to say thank you for the effort.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got an example. So we might say something like, Dear Roger, thank you for letting me know about the outcome of your interviews for the research and development manager. Of course, I'm disappointed. However, I'm grateful for the time that you took out of your day to speak to me and to show me around the plant. As I said, the work you do there is fascinating.
I'll tell you something. You do that by letter, or you do that by email, or to start, or even a voicemail message. The person's going to read that, and it's rare enough today, somebody to say, wow, this guy's impressive. I like that. That's really classy. And he'll probably mention it to somebody else. And then maybe 3 or 4 months later, they say, hey, that guy we hired didn't work out. Should we go back and talk to Jones?
Yeah.
Now, you might say, well, it's a little extra work. Yeah, it is. And it may turn out to be something, or it may just be practice for behaving professionally and respectfully in general.
Yeah, it's going to take you 10 minutes to amend what we've written for you.
Exactly.
Not even to print it out and put a stamp on it. So, you know, I write quite formally. So this is another less formal version. Dear Roger, thank you so much for taking time to interview me last week. I loved seeing your clean room. It's an impressive operation you have there. I'm sad I'm not going to be part of it. So, depends on the tone of the letter, of what you get, and the relationship you've developed with the hiring manager, and you want to stay within the bounds of what they gave you. I mean, sad is quite an emotional word, and probably not workplace appropriate, but that depends on where
depends
you interviewed
on you are, who you are.
And exactly. So
I generally find when it comes to these things, a little bit more formality than you're used to is better. I'm now getting emails every once in a while from people that have the word you, Y-O-U, like as you and me, spelled as the letter U, or just 3 or 4 emoticons for a paragraph. And that may be 30 years from now, as we record this in 2015, but it's not here yet. And if you do that, you're going to be perceived as emotionally slash professionally less mature than somebody who recognizes that this situation, an acceptance or a declination for an opportunity and for employment, bears a little bit of formality, a little mm-hmm. bit of respect for the process. Okay. So next thing you say is wish them luck with their hire. This is my favorite part of this. It is, I recognize this is not all about me, right?
Yes. And this is something that you're really good at. So I often notice when you're replying to people and they're telling you about a hire, clearly they're not hiring you, but they're telling you about a hire, or even when we've gone and talked to somebody about working with them as a client and you going to present with them and they decide they don't want to go with us, you often say, I wish you luck with the people you've chosen, or I wish you luck with your hire. Yeah. And it's very gracious. And it's something I've noticed because I'm not generally very gracious and it really works.
Well, yeah, and you think about it. I'm trying to get some business with a client, or I'm trying to get hired by a company. And whether I'm representing my company or individually doesn't really matter. If the deal doesn't go my way, if I don't get hired, if I don't get the engagement, the fact that I would take that personally essentially gives the lie to the idea that I was doing this for the benefit of the company, the benefit of the client.
Mm-hmm.
It means what I wanted was all about me and you didn't give it to me and now I'm going to be petulant. If I can truly say I'm doing this to benefit your company, if I'm going after an engagement, for instance, and I don't get it, then they've made the choice that another venue, another avenue is better for them than me. If that's the case, wouldn't they know better than me who's better? Of course they would. So you can't act petulantly or withhold regards or encouragement or good wishes if, in fact, you had the right mentality, the right emotional state when you started out. So essentially what you're doing when you say, when you're being gracious and wishing them luck, is saying, I was in this for you. And of course, you know, I want to win as well, but it was not all me. And I think too many people miss that. And too many people are too quick to justify their anger, their frustration, their schadenfreude. That's probably not the right word. The idea that, you know, I'm ticked off at that guy because he got the job. That is a mentality of scarcity rather than abundance. And you better learn to smile at people on your way up because you'll see them on the way back down.
Yes. And I'm with everybody else. I'm emotionally immature and I would, you know, I used to come back from interview. I've told this story before. I come back from interviews when I was, you know, 16 or 17 looking for part-time jobs. And my mom would say, don't worry, the person who got it was a single mother with 8 children and 1 leg, because she wanted to make me feel like somebody else deserved it more than I did. So she would tell me these stories because I would come back and be all sulky. And the problem with coming back and being all sulky or being angry or being, you know, having negative feelings is you can see them in somebody's writing. And what's more, you can see them in the next interview. I've interviewed loads of people who have been unemployed for 3 or 4 months and are in that place where I've been to 10 interviews and I've been rejected from all of them. And I'm angry and yeah. I don't understand what's happening and I feel rejected. And you can see all that in their faces and in their body language and you can hear it in the answers. So you don't want to start yourself in that downward spiral by thinking about the person who got the job negatively.
Yeah. And if you do something positive, you can behave your way into feeling a certain way. Yeah. So doing something positive will reduce the chances that you'll be more negative in communications that will make a difference if you're in a job search.
Yeah.
Yeah. So example?
I wish you luck with your new hire. I'm sure you've chosen someone who will be a great asset to the team.
Okay.
Or I wish you and your team great success in the future. I'm sure you'll achieve it with the caliber of talent you have there. Something like that.
Good. I like it. In fact, I remember not getting an offer from somebody in writing. I said, I'm certain that the process you put me through delivered somebody that you found outstanding, and I'm thrilled for them. And in fact, it was one of the companies I was interviewing with when I interviewed with Procter & Gamble. And the guy called me and said, "Are you kidding?" I said, "No, I'm not kidding." Now, I had been coached to do that, and I would not have done it had I not learned that lesson when I was 26. Okay, the next thing is don't ask for feedback. And what I'd love to do, if I could, is you just go ahead and walk everybody through the guidance. And the entire time you're talking, I will simply say, "Don't, don't, 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 don't." I cannot tell you how many thank you letters I've gotten for a speech, for extra time, for a favor, followed by 7 questions. Mm-hmm. I cannot tell you how well, we talk about it in thank you notes, right? One of the pieces of guidance we have in thank you notes is never ask a question, because a question implies an obligation. It creates an obligation. It leaves unfulfilled, it leaves unclosed the loop of communication between you and the person you're communicating with. Yeah.
And the whole point of thank you letters is to finish that communication. Yes.
And the whole point of responding to a rejection letter or phone call or email is to close the communication.
Yes. Yeah. And this is, so you just said about thank you notes. This isn't particularly a rule about responses to job rejections, although it should be. It's a rule about thank you letters. If you're saying thank you for something, you don't ask for something else in the letter. It's like being told, "Oh, you can. Yeah, we have space on our trip. So if you know there's an extra space, you want to come on our vacation to somewhere glamorous, like some baths. We've got an extra bed in the hotel. Please come." And you saying, "Oh, can I bring my friend?"
Yeah,
it's like, no, because we just offered something very generous to you and then you want more.
Yeah.
It just makes you out to be a taker and not a giver, and that's not what we want to be.
And one of the things we talk about frequently is in relationships, the issue of goodwill between two people, the goodwill and the trust that builds up such that if there's a disagreement or a misunderstanding, a lot of trust or goodwill can handle it. The misunderstanding goes against the trust and goodwill and we're fine. You start asking questions, you ask for feedback, you're essentially taking all that goodwill off the table. Because the relationship essentially is over once you get the letter. You're simply replying as a way of saying, "I appreciate what you did, and sorry it didn't work out, but I wish you well." Yeah.
And the other thing is that managers hate giving feedback.
Yeah.
They hate it, but mostly because they're not very good at interviewing, and they don't know why someone was good or bad. They did it on gut feel, which is a really bad way to make a decision. They're not good at describing behaviors, or they don't want to tell you the truth. You know, they don't want to say, "Well, you came in and you looked a mess," or,
yeah,
"You know, you looked like you were half asleep through the interview," or, "I'm not convinced you weren't drunk." You know, they don't want to, even small things, they don't want to give you negative feedback. And that's what you're looking for. You're looking for negative feedback so you can improve next time. And they don't want to give it to you. So what they'll do is they'll give you something really benign that is useless to you. So they'll say, "Oh, another candidate had some skills that you didn't have," or, "We felt that this candidate had experience that you didn't have," which tells you nothing about your ability to interview, about the skills they were looking for versus what they got. Not only is it rude, it's not going to help you.
Exactly.
So it's just both. Don't do it.
Yeah. It's a twofer. Don't do it. And then we finish by expressing future interest in our communication.
Yeah. So even though we're closing the communication loop for this round,
this exchange around a particular opportunity, yes.
Yeah. We don't want it to be the last communication we ever have with that hiring manager. What we want, what we would really like, ideally, is for in 2 weeks for them to call and say, "Oh, actually, that candidate had dropped out or got a better offer or isn't starting, and wouldn't you like to come?" So you want to leave something open so that they feel like you would welcome another call from them.
Yeah.
So, and we're assuming that you interviewed with them because you were interested in the company and the job, and that didn't change while you were interviewing. And even if it did, you probably would say this anyway, because companies change, hiring managers change. So just because you interview with the company and you think, "I really don't like any of them," Or I think that company is badly managed or something. 3 months later, they might have a new CEO, COO who's changed everything. So you never want to burn a bridge. So you want to say something like, after meeting you and your team and seeing your work, I'm more convinced than ever that X company is a good fit and the agricultural research industry more generally. If another opportunity comes up, I'd love to be considered. Thank you again for your time and consideration, and I hope to keep in touch.
Yeah, now folks, it's important here. We don't want to cross the line between I don't think this is done yet and expressing a future passive interest. Meaning, if you were to find something that you thought may be good, I would still be happy to consider that because of what a great opportunity you, what a great company, what a great people and so on. You know, you don't want to finish up saying thank you for the opportunity and saying I'm still interested, I'm ready to interview, please give me a call, give me another chance. That's not what you're saying. You're saying I loved the opportunity. If there are other opportunities, I'd love to hear about them. And I wish you well in this particular situation. It's a passive statement of interest. In other words, I'm not so petulant as to turn off magically the spigot of my excitement about your firm because you're not interested in me. Your lack of interest in me for this opportunity doesn't change the excitement I feel about what you do and how well you do it. So be careful about that.
And how many companies do we talk about that we either end up with as clients or don't end up as clients? And we say, wow, they're like the coolest people ever. There's all sorts of really exciting companies in the world who do really cool things and really cool things that people don't necessarily think of as cool. But so being excited about what a company does is – I don't know. It's not a negative in any way. You know, you can be excited. It's fine to be excited about tractors or buses or, you know, whatever. And people think that, well, once they've rejected me, I shouldn't be excited about them. Well, you know, you can still be excited.
What you prove by that is it was all about you.
Yeah.
And then in the world of collaboration and team play and communication and working across boundaries and international teamwork and virtual teams, you're saying, I'm not a good hire.
Yeah.
Good.
That's right. Okay, so the last part is stay in touch.
Right.
And we've said this before, any person you meet is part of your network. Wherever you meet them and however you meet them and whatever job they do, wherever they work, they are part of your network. And the secret to using your network and keeping your network warm is to keep in touch. And we have a whole set of podcasts about this. So you just go to the website, which is managertools.com, and search for staying in touch examples. And we have a whole bunch of examples of ways to keep in touch. And we have example letters and emails to send. So that makes it that bit easy.
Yeah. I think too many people just say, it's in it for me. I didn't get what I want. I'm not going to stay in touch with them. Or they don't stay in touch. And then a year later, they meet somebody because they went into the same industry. And they say, oh, I interviewed with you guys. You guys said no.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, really? Don't be dumb. Send a note and said, love to stay in touch with you, and then do so periodically. Now, if you send notes 10, 15 times, you don't hear anything back, okay, you know, shame on me, I'll go away. But imagine meeting somebody a year later and saying, boy, I interviewed with you guys, you have a great firm. Now, mind you, you have a great firm, and I chose to be at this other one. But you say, you know, you have a great firm, and it was so good. I told you all what a great experience I had, and I've tried to stay in touch with some people because how good it was. I'll tell you what, you talk about somebody who will be impressed, somebody who will, you just took a potential negative. Oh, I interviewed with you guys and you didn't offer me. And now the person feels responsible. If they're halfway smart, they feel as responsible as a representative of the company. And they're thinking, wow, okay, how do I get out of that hole? And so what they say is something benign like, well, sorry, it didn't work out. Maybe you just interviewed with somebody who didn't see how good you were or something, which they have no clue what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so much easier to do the rejection right and try to stay in touch and then be able to say to somebody, actually, I tried to stay in touch with some people because it was so good. They're like, wow. And now you've turned a potential negative into a positive. And much easier for them to become a colleague, an associate, a friend, part of your network.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, so summing up, I think writing a thank you letter to a rejection is, as we like to say, classy, right?
Yeah.
It's easy. It doesn't cost anything more than a thank you card and a stamp. and the upside of being first in somebody's mind if something doesn't work out or if more opportunities are created is big. And so why wouldn't you? Because you don't have time? Well, I would argue that time is a choice. And if you make this kind of thing a priority, by the time you're 40 or 45, you'll have a huge network and you'll never have to look for another job again because they'll be thrown at you all the darn time.
You can do this in the ads. Like if you're watching a TV program, I bet you could, as soon as the TV program goes to ads and by the time the ads are finished, you could have written that thank you letter and put a stamp on it.
Yep.
You don't have not have time. It's there.
Okay. Thanks, Wendy.
Thanks. Bye, everyone.
Hope that was helpful to you folks. Hope you never go through life not getting another offer, but if you do, now you know how to handle it.